This is episode 46 of Dear Analyst, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to build a project management task tracker that has task dependencies in Google Sheets. Now, I actually wrote about this, I wrote a broader blog post about this for work, actually, where I compared how you can build task dependencies into several other tools, Google Sheets being one of them. I'll put the link to this blog post in the show notes. But I wrote a long blog post comparing task dependencies and task durations in Google Sheets and other tools like ClickUp, Monday.com, Wrike, Smartsheet, Notion, and Coda, where I work. And I'll share that blog post in the show notes. But I wanted to kind of recap what I did in Google Sheets a little more in depth, because I think it shows a couple things about Google Sheets and also about building tools in spreadsheets that may not necessarily be meant for spreadsheets. When I talk about building tools in spreadsheets, I'm kind of referring to an episode a few episodes ago, which was episode 43, which I'll mention in the show notes as well. The gist from that episode was that you can build really interesting tools and workflows in spreadsheets, even though spreadsheets, Google Sheets, are not meant for that specific purpose. Anywho, I think this is a really interesting use case of that specific concept, because you're trying to build like a Gantt chart and task dependencies into a spreadsheet. And what's really interesting from this spreadsheet, and I also link to the spreadsheet in the show notes, is this exercise showed me that you can actually get really, really close to building a fully featured task dependency project management tool in Google Sheets relative to the other dedicated project management software platforms that I wrote about in the other blog post. And I'm pretty sure this Google Sheet will also be comparable to other project management software platforms that you have on the market. And even if there are some features in some dedicated piece of project management software that this spreadsheet does not have, it's pretty simple to like write up some formulas to build that feature into this Google Sheet. So I think the reason why so many teams turn to Google Sheets when they need to build something like this is because, well, A, it's free, and B, it's really flexible. And see, if you want to add more features, you can simply just write some more formulas, organize some cells and rows and columns, and you're good to go. And this was a really interesting look at how you can replace many tools with spreadsheets and not pay a lot of money to have a spreadsheet. Now, of course, the downside is this Google Sheet is not the most prettiest project management tool. It just gets the job done. And so if you're someone that's looking for something a little more well-designed, has a better user experience, has really nice looking charts, then you probably want to go to something more dedicated for project management. I think the behemoth in the project management space is Microsoft Project. But like I said, if you just Google project management software, you'll come across like 100 different tools. So that is kind of a preamble to the Google Sheet. I'm going to open up the Google Sheet now, and I'm going to talk through the kind of key bullets for how you can build this spreadsheet. So the first one is creating task dependencies. How do you create task dependencies in Google Sheets? So the first thing is in column A, you have all of your tasks. You know, this is just like a list of tasks that you need to do for a given project. In this case, I have things like instructor shoot, go to market planning kickoff, portraiture photography selected, and I have 14 just total tasks. In column B, I want to be able to select a dependency for a given task. So for instance, class editing, which is the fourth task, depends on the instructor shoot task. How do I create that dependency or select a dependency. So you could easily just copy and paste the instructor shoot task into the dependency, but that could be really annoying over time. And what if you want to constantly change dependencies and you have to constantly copy and paste? So the easiest way to do this in Google Sheets is to create a data validation for the cell in the dependency column. So the way you can do that is you click on a cell in the dependency column, in this case column B, and then you go to data in Google Sheets, then go to data validation. The cell range is simply the cell where you want the data validation to occur. And then the criteria, the list from range, that's where you select all the cells that you want to show up in the dropdown, essentially what the user can pick. So this case for me, it's going to be A2 to A15, just my list of tasks that I have in column A. And then once you have that set up, when you click on the dependency column or any cell in dependency column, you'll see all the tasks laid out for you that you have in column A. So you can pick one that you can pick the dependency that has all the proper spelling, and you never have to worry about copy and pasting again. And the neat thing if you change the spelling of a task in the column A, you have to reselect that task in the dependency column. The problem is that you don't know what it has changed, so it's kind of annoying because you have to like look at the cells that have the old spelling and then change it to the new spelling. It would be nice if it just automatically changed the spelling. So there's already one ding for Google Sheets, but it's not the biggest kind of like drawback. Things are not disconnected when you change the spelling in one cell to another cell. The next thing, so that's the first step in creating the task dependency. This is already kind of like a big step for a lot of tools because many project management tools have very specific ways of building task dependencies. And in Google Sheets, it's relatively straightforward. In column C, I have just a column of numbers. This represents the duration of the task, so the number of days that the task takes. So this is, that's just a number for me. In this case, it's the numbers from 1 through 5 representing days. Then I have team and owner in columns D and E. So these are all pretty standard columns that you can build in pretty much any other project management tool. So I'm not going to walk through those. Okay, step two in creating a task dependency workflow in Google Sheets is getting the task start date and the task end date. I'm going to focus on the task end date first. The task end date is simply the task start date plus the number of duration days in the spreadsheet. So we just have, in my case, column F contains the start date, and then column C contains the duration. So I just do F plus C equals the task end date. Now you'd be surprised how difficult this is in other project management platforms. The reason is because columns F and G are start and end dates, and Google Sheets automatically kind of knows that these are what we call date formats. In a lot of other platforms, when you try to add a number to a date, it doesn't know what to do because it's mixing and matching a date format with a number. And so it's not sure like, oh, am I trying to add like this number to a date? Am I adding the number of days? Am I adding the number of months? Am I literally trying to add this number to this date? And does that result in some kind of like concatenated string value? So you end up having to convert dates into numbers or numbers into dates, or you have to tell most that project management platforms that I've played with, you have to use like a date add function where you tell it, this is the date, this is the number, and this is the unit that I want to add to the date, in this case, days. But in Google Sheets, it's smart enough to know like, okay, if you're adding a number to a date, we're just gonna assume that the number is days, which is like usually what the duration means. So there's no kind of playing around with formatting or date formats or number formats. It just kind of works. So that works out really well for us in Google Sheets. The goal of, now the next, the step three in building a task dependency workflow is getting the, I'll come back to the task start date in a second. Step three is figuring out the dependent start date, the task dependencies start date and the task dependencies end date. Now, why is this important? One thing that we're trying to do in Google Sheets is being able to do this kind of cascade of dates down the list of tasks. What I mean by that is we have a kickoff task. Normally this might be like a kickoff task, a kickoff meeting, and that's going to be the very, very first task in my list of tasks. And that task at the very top does not have a dependency because that's like the very first thing you do when a project starts. And that's the way most projects work, I would assume. And so that task name, we're going to select a manual task start date. Now, depending on what date I select there, you probably want the rest of your tasks to either get pushed forward or move back depending on what that date is. Because when that date is entered into the cell, all the dependency dates for all the dependency tasks will also change. And you can't start a task. The task start date cannot begin until the dependencies task ends. And this is a pretty common concept in project management, just known as the dependency type. In this case, we're doing a finish to start dependency. And that means the next task cannot start until the previous task finishes. In this case, we're saying that the next task cannot start until the dependency task finishes. So that's why we want to know the dependency start date and end date, because that impacts when the task can start. And so if you change the date for the kickoff task, that's going to impact and create a waterfall effect on every other task below it, because that task, every single task dependency, that date will change, which also impacts when the actual task can start. So we want to create this waterfall dependency kind of flow. And the opposite of doing this is having to select the start date for every single task in your list. And this is probably most common in a lot of other project management tools where you have to manually select each date. And that's kind of annoying, because if the start date for the kickoff task changes, you have to manually go in and change the dates for every single subsequent task. And I believe, I mean, I'm not running projects every single day, but normally all tasks are related. So having to do that every single time the project kickoff date changes is really annoying. And so I think, I mean, that's why a lot of teams probably have very strict timing around when project kickoff dates can change, because then all the dependencies can change. But if you're in a team that's constantly doing projects with a similar number of tasks, then you probably want that kickoff date to instantly impact how the rest of the tasks in that project can change. So having said that, this is where Google Sheets kind of shines over other project management tools, because you can simply change one date and all the formulas will update to impact the rest of the tasks. And other project management platforms, you not only have to select the task start date, but you also have to select the task end date. Again, I just talked about how sometimes you can't take into account the duration and days for the task. So that's kind of annoying. The counter argument to this is that in most project management tools, like what I compare in the blog post, the original blog post, is you have a really fully functioning Gantt chart, and you can drag and drop the Gantt chart to show when tasks are moving around, the task duration has increased by just dragging and dropping like the end of the bar forward and backwards. And that's another way to quickly change when tasks move around in the waterfall. So some teams like that flexibility because you can quickly change the duration, the timing of every single task. But in this specific scenario, we're just trying to create a waterfall effect of all the dates in the task list. So that was another long preamble to picking the dependency start date and the dependency end date. So in order to get the dependency start date, we do a VLOOKUP off of the dependency column. So we know that we have the task name, the dependency, we have a task start date and task end date. To get to the dependency start date, I do a VLOOKUP off of column B, which contains the dependency of our task, but we know that the dependency name is an exact match with our column A, which has all our tasks. So if I do a VLOOKUP of column B, and my table that I'm looking up to is columns A through G in this case, column A is my first index column that contains the actual task name. So I can literally just look up the dependency against the task name and just return the task start date, which is the sixth column in my table here. So that's simply how you can return the dependency start date. And then the dependency end date is the same VLOOKUP, but you're returning back index 7, which is the task end date for that specific task. So we're kind of doing a VLOOKUP onto the same table that we're in, because we know that the dependency task has the same name as a name somewhere in the task name column. And so that's how we're able to get the dependency start date and dependency end date. Now, step 4 is to finally finish up our list of tasks with task start dates. We will do a simple reference to column I. So task start date equals dependency end date. And the reason why this comes last is because we know in this case we're doing a finish to start dependency type. The task start date cannot start until the dependency of that task is finished, which is why we do task start date equals dependency end date for that same task. Now, you could argue that maybe you should put in some lag. You know, a lot of project management tools, they have this notion of adding lag to each task. Like, just because a task finishes, or just because a task's dependency finishes, it doesn't mean that the next task can start right away. So you might put in a lag or a buffer of dependency end date plus 1 or plus 2, and that becomes the new task start date. That really depends on how your team runs projects and how much lag you typically put in for each task. So that's a kind of more specific question for your team to answer on how to run projects. In this case, I'm just saying that the next task can start right when the dependency ends. So that's how you can build a simple list for managing a project with list dependencies. Just to reiterate, this is a case of a project where you have projects where they have the same number of tasks and dependencies. So you can constantly recycle and reuse this list of tasks, because once you click on a start date for the instructor shoot, for the first task, kickoff task in this list, all the other dates cascade down. So you don't have to worry about independently selecting task start dates and end dates for every single task. Other projects are kind of one-off, one-time, and so you can't reuse the same list of tasks and dependencies for that given task. So in that case, you would want a more dedicated project management platform. I mean, or you can just remove like this waterfall cascading of dates in Google Sheets. But I think one of the powerful features in this Google Sheet is that you can build this quick dependency of dates and waterfall into the sheet, and you have the flexibility of going back to just selecting start dates and end dates if you want to. The downside is that you can't build a Gantt chart that is like flexible as other Gantt chart features in other project management tools. But as I said at the very beginning of this episode, we got pretty far to building out like 90% of what most project management platforms can do just by having these, like, you know, 8 columns with dependencies, task start and end dates, and dependency start and end dates. The step 5 is, this is kind of like a little nice to have, but I want to build a simple Gantt chart visualization in this Google Sheets right to the right of my list, because this list of tasks and dependencies is nice to look at, but it's kind of hard to figure out like when tasks should start, how do they look on a calendar, how they kind of overlap with each other. And so the way to build a simple Gantt chart view And this is kind of, again, a hack where you're trying to stuff a chart that is not really meant to be built in a spreadsheet, but it kind of works in the spreadsheet. And unfortunately, there's no Gantt chart, like really simple Gantt chart that you can build natively in Google Sheets or Excel. You could use a bar chart, but you have to do a lot of hacking around with like the axes and the start dates of the bars and stuff and hiding the bars. I've done this before in the past and it's really annoying. So I figured let's just try to build this chart into the cells themselves. So from column K through column AN, and you don't these columns can change for you, but I simply have the numbers 1 through 30 in the first row. So 1, 2, 3, all the way through 30. And these numbers represents the day of the month. Now in the cells below this, these are, now we're getting into like the rows that the tasks actually are in. So the first formula, the formula I write in the first empty cell below the numbers is an if statement where I say if the number in the first row, again, this is 1 through 30, if that number is greater than equal to the day in task start date, and that number is less than or equal to the task end date for that given task, put a little X in that cell. Otherwise, just leave it blank. So the way you can get the day of the task start date is just by using the day formula, just day, and then left parentheses, in this case, task start date is F2, right parentheses. And so I'm basically saying if this number falls within the between the task start date and end date, put an X. Otherwise, you have blank. So for instance, for the task start, for the first task on my list, I have a task start date of October 1st and a task end date of October 6th. So you only see X's in that row for the numbers 1 through 6 to the right. And then every single row below that, you'll also see X's only for the dates that that task falls within for the task start date and end date. So now you start to see all these X's representing the days where that task occurs. And you kind of see this nice little waterfall of X's. And I add some more visual flair to these X's because just seeing a bunch of X's in the spreadsheet where the task kind of quote-unquote occurs is interesting, but if you want to really make this stand out and kind of look like a chart, you can apply, like in my case, I put a conditional formatting on across all these cells that are empty or contain X's, and I basically say if the cell is not blank, then put a blue background and a white foreground for the font color. So now I see a bunch of white X's with a bunch of blue backgrounds. And it kind of looks a little bit like a chart in a way, where you can kind of see like the bar that would represent the bar in the Gantt chart view. Of course, you can't just instantly move these bars around because they're all tied to a formula, which is this like if and formula. But what's really neat is if you change the task start date for the very first kickoff task, this kickoff task is like a manual formula. If you recall, the task start date is simply equal to the dependencies end date. For the first task, we don't have that formula. It's a hard-coded formula for task start date. So if I change that task start date to a different day in the month or in the year, it will automatically move the Gantt chart around. Now, this Gantt chart only shows for days 1 through 30. You could easily build this out for like all 365 days in the year and have a bunch of other columns to the right, but I just did it for 30 days for now just to show how you can move the Gantt chart around for the month of October. So that is how you can build this task dependency workflow with Gantt chart in Google Sheets. I got pretty close to replicating other project management tools, and it shows how, again, you can build a tool into Google Sheets that it's not really meant to be used for. And I think another interesting point is about this is that I think for a lot of spreadsheet users out there, and I'll kind of leave you with this, is we kind of take pride or have fun I know fun is kind of like a maybe could be a pejorative word for some people. I think it's kind of fun to try to take a use case that Google Sheets is not meant to be used for and try to build that into the tool using Google Sheets. For instance, like putting these X's in these cells that are supposed to make it look like a Gantt chart. Like, this is obviously not what Google Sheet is meant to be used for, but it's kind of fun to be able to think about a creative solution to build that functionality into Google Sheets that kind of gets close to what you want to do, but is not perfect, obviously, because it's not a real Gantt chart, but it looks kind of like one. And so I think for a lot of you spreadsheet users out there, probably the fun of using spreadsheets is being able to build these really kind of crazy and wacky features into the spreadsheet that you typically wouldn't use it for. All right, I'll move on to the second half of this episode where I'll quickly talk about two other podcasts I listened to recently that I think are worth calling out. The first one is a favorite of mine. It's the Shop Talk Show. It's a podcast about building websites. And in this episode, it's episode 429, Cognitive Bias with David Dylan Thomas. And David stops by to talk about his new book, Design for Cognitive Bias. And he talks about around minute 20 about how when teams interview people, they typically ask for, they're trying to find a candidate who has good, quote unquote, culture fit with the team or the company. I'm sure many of you out there have been either interviewing people or asked to evaluate candidates. And you want to make sure that the person is a good cultural fit for your company. And in this episode, David Dylan Thomas argues this could potentially lead to situations where the company is very homogenous and everyone's kind of like a replication of each other. And it may not be the best for the company overall. And I think he brings, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but he argues that you should probably sometimes look for people that are not necessarily a cultural fit, but may increase or add to the existing culture you have at the company. And he brings up, I forgot who brought up the example, but they say, like, the Avengers, the reason why the Avengers works is because there's like a diversity of people. And if you go back to old movies like The Seven Samurai, there's multiple different personalities. You don't have like Iron Man replicated five times for the Avengers. And I think he has a point in that the person that you bring into the company is trying to increase or add to or provide their own perspective on the culture. Because one can argue that if you have a bunch of people that are part of the same cultural fit, then it may be hard to challenge existing norms or feel safe. And I think I mentioned this episode of mentioned this concept from a few episodes ago, where they did a survey at Google and they found that the most important aspect about having a team, like, be innovative and build interesting products, is that the team feels like they have a safe space to take risks. I forgot the exact term, what it was called, but essentially it's like feeling you have the I can't remember the phrase, but it's like essentially feeling you can take risks without feeling like it's going to be looked down upon or challenged. And I think I'm still kind of on the fence on whether or not you want to find someone that has culture fit versus not. I think if you want to find someone that's challenging the cultural fit or adding to the culture, it's really important to figure out what kind of things you're trying to improve about the culture or add to the culture. Because if you find someone that's from left field and is just completely not a cultural fit, and you're just hiring that person for the sake of, hey, we need to hire this person because they're not a cultural fit, they could really take away from the culture and decrease people's productivity and people's general like morale. So I think there's a fine line to walk there. Anyways, worth a listen to because it does challenge this concept of whether or not you should hire someone that has like the exact cultural fit to your company, which is such a prevailing kind of ethos these days for keeping the culture of your company at a certain level. And I think it definitely behooves you to think about how you can hire, what are the criteria you should have for your company to hire someone that is not a cultural fit, but rather adds to the culture or can challenge the culture in a kind of positive way. So that's the Shop Talk show. The next one is one show I haven't talked about in quite a while. It's the Remote Show. This is Remote Show episode 31 with Mesh Lakhani. I may be saying his name wrong. He's the founding partner at Mark II Capital. And in this episode, around minute 29, actually, before I get to that, the specific part of the episode I want to mention, I really like this, what Mark talks about, because Mark is also a fellow New Yorker, and he has some positive words to say about what the future of New York is going to look like in terms of it coming back and businesses coming back. And he hints at the Jerry Seinfeld article saying that New York is not going to go anywhere, it's not going to die. So I really like those words, and I really like his notion that rents are falling and commercial rents may fall too, and that means that new businesses and new companies and people that may not have been able to afford New York rents and cost of living in the past may come, and it may lead to this renaissance of a diversity of people coming back to New York, you know, whereas as the cost gets higher, only a certain, you know, socioeconomic class can live in Manhattan and other boroughs because the cost of living is so high. So I really like that hopeful nature of New York City coming back and being, you know, this bustling place it once used to be. Around minute 28, 29, he talks about how all these companies are using tools like Airtable, Notion, Google Sheets, throw Coda in there as well. And they're using all these online collaboration platforms, but they may not know how to organize them really well. And he talks about how any person can show off their skills for how to use these platforms by maybe creating YouTube videos or maybe just emailing the CEO of the company directly and say, I have this really interesting use case for how you can use all these platforms and I can help you organize these platforms easily. And it's such a great time for young people, new graduates, to master these online education, online collaborative platforms, because so many companies are using these platforms these days to work remotely. So if you are someone that can understand how to use these platforms and be an expert in not just one, but like several of them, you can kind of come in as a consultant or maybe even get hired to organize these tools for people, where I believe they're saying how Mark was saying, or Mesh was saying, that was traditionally the job of like a secretary or an assistant. But since there's such an explosion of tools and different types of tools and different nuances about these tools, and this goes to spreadsheets as well, you can demonstrate your expertise in organizing people's spreadsheets and their Airtable bases by going in and just saying, hey, I have this portfolio of other Airtable, whatever, Google Sheets I've created in the past. I'd be happy to do this for you. And you can come in as a consultant or maybe get hired to do that full time, maybe as an operations person. So I think there's given the proliferation of all these online tools, I think he's talking about how this gives people, especially new graduates who are looking for jobs, a simple way to demonstrate expertise and potentially get hired to manage these platforms for these companies. So really, really encourage folks to do this if you're looking for a position, because there's so much training, so many training materials and YouTube videos and tutorials on how to use these tools that many companies simply don't have time to do. And so they're looking to the companies themselves, the tools themselves, or the consultants to provide the expertise to organize their workspaces, because everyone's using these remote tools these days. All right, that is the end of this episode, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on Dear Analyst.